This is the Friday, July 24th, 2015 version of the Market Plus segment. Joining us now is Mark Gold. Mark, welcome back.
Thanks. Nice to be here.
And we're glad to have you back. We wanted to start off this segment talking the cotton market. We glossed over it on the program. You know, cotton was down 58 cents again this week. We're in this sideways to downward trend here in cotton. What's your gut telling you? Where do you see this going?
Well, my gut tells me it can move a little bit lower yet. 55 cents should be a good support area in the cotton. If we start taking that out, then I think you're looking at 39 to 41, somewhere in that range. And, you know, I think it's being affected by this whole Chinese economy problem that's affecting so many commodities around the world. And I think cotton is one that's caught up in it. So if I'm selling cotton down here at these relatively low historical prices, I'd certainly want to re-own it with a call option to keep that upside open. But I still think there's some more risk out here in the meantime, and we haven't seen any real good technical indicators that say that the bottom's in yet. So it tells me that there's some more risk out here.
Now, when you're looking at this Chinese economy slowdown, and specifically its effect on commodities, how much of the effect on commodities is due directly to the Chinese scaling back their buying, and how much is due to more investor fears that China will slow their buying? Is that something you've got a handle on?
Well, I think it's hard to, you know, which comes first, but in my case, I believe it's really the Chinese demand. That's what's backing off first. And without that Chinese steamroller and that engine behind these commodity prices, it tells me that what we've seen here is this dramatic shift out of the commodity assets into something else. We don't know where it's going. It may be going into U.S. Treasuries. We've seen a good rally in the Treasury market. So maybe they're selling off commodities and buying our bonds. I don't know.
Because it's not going into the U.S. equity market,
no,
at least not in the last week or two.
No, certainly hasn't.
Staying out of the Chinese equity market, I'd assume.
And the Chinese haven't been big buyers of bonds in the last couple of years, really. So it's hard to know what they're doing. But the fact of the matter is that that slowdown in the economy has had a broad effect on commodities. And that kind of flu bug, if you will, has infected investors backing off. And we've seen a lot of the funds out of the market. So it hasn't been helpful. And until we really see that turnaround, which I don't really know that it's going to be anytime soon, Commodities are going to be on the defensive.
Okay. Now, in your research, do you see this Chinese flu spreading? I mean, affecting some of the other East Asian economies, or is this going to be more of a China-specific policy-related issue?
No, I believe it can spread into some other economies. They've been such a major factor over the last 10 years in so many markets that when there's a slowdown there, that ripple carries a long wave. And that little, you know, rock in the pond, those ripples spread out quite a ways. And I think that we can see that happen throughout a lot of markets.
Okay. All right. Well, now let's bring it back to the U.S. Let's bring it back to the Midwest here. Dennis is in Topeka, Kansas. And Dennis is making the comment, Northeast Kansas, Northwest Missouri, and Southeast Nebraska are underwater. Looking at a radius of 70 miles from St. Joe, Missouri, is there any report of how many acres were not planted this year due to the wet spring and summer? Is that something we'll learn about from the USDA survey?
Yeah, that's exactly what the point of that report is. We know that there's been some acres lost. I've been through Missouri. I couldn't believe how many fields didn't get planted. I mean, it was stunning. And we know in southern Illinois, we know in Nebraska, we know in southern Indiana, parts of Ohio, that they didn't, in Arkansas, they didn't get everything planted they wanted to. Now, in other places where it was good, Minnesota, Michigan, Wisconsin, northern Illinois, they were able to get some more beans in the ground that maybe people weren't counting on. I don't believe that the good acres have offset what we've lost. In fact, I think when it's all said and done, I'm guessing we're down 1 million to 1.5 million acres. And with the U.S. carryout getting tighter, it's significant, and we haven't made the bean crop yet. What we've had in the last 6 weeks are the funds coming out of huge short positions, getting long, and now blowing out of those. Now, if they get short in the next week to 10 days before that August 10th report, I don't know that I'd be too bearish down there in the first week of August with the whole August production period ahead of us. So it may give us yet another opportunity where the funds get short in the next week to buy something, get a bullish report, the funds buy it back in, and then sell it again. You know, we want to be in position at top third to take advantage of whatever happens to the market. The market goes down, we want to take money out of puts. If the market goes up, we want to be able to sell grain. And so we actually look forward to the volatility, the more the merrier, right, as far as we're concerned, because each one of those moves is an opportunity to our clients.
That's right. That's right. Putting some money in their pocket.
We're trying.
Whatever's growing in the field. And now, speaking of growing in the field, speaking of the U.S. soybean demand, we have seen a very, very strong crush margin here for U.S. demand. Yeah. Is that continuing?
I don't think so. Not after we start really getting some of the southern beans to hit the market come September. I think we're going to see some of that back off. We've had some tight basis around the country. We've been trying to combat it, not we, but the market's been trying to combat it by bringing in meal into the East Coast. That's part of what's killed this rally in the beans, the fact that some of the commercials want to bring in cheap meal from South America and offset that. So is it going to last? I think it's an old crop issue that maybe you've got another couple of weeks of it, but it looked like we broke the back of it this week, and it's going to be a little bit tougher to try to make new highs with it now.
Okay. Now we've got a question here, or a comment actually, from Brian Scott out in Indiana. Brian's saying the crop for him can no longer get better at this point. Whatever's made is made. Yeah. It can either maintain or get worse. And in your mind, the market has that fully priced in.
Well, I think it was fully priced in when the funds were in there, not only getting their funds, their shorts covered, but getting long. And I think that's one of the things they were worried about, which pushed them over the top, turned around some of the technical signals. And when we were at our highs, roughly 1050 on new crop beans, I think it was pretty well priced in. Now that we're back down and the funds have gotten out of these long positions in the beans and maybe even getting short, maybe we're swinging the pendulum the other way too far. You know, I feel for Brian, he's in one of those tough areas. Hopefully he's had some crop insurance to help him through this. But the marketing opportunity, like I said, we might have one more opportunity, maybe a day or two before the report, maybe a day or two after the report. But after that, I think things get a little bit tougher for the American farmer, particularly going into the fall.
Going through harvest. And then do you see any sort of a renaissance in pricing once we get into first quarter of 16 or second quarter?
We need to see prices get lower to attract that demand. We need to see something positive happen in China or somewhere else in the world. You know, if we really hit this bean market between now and the fall and the corn, after the first of the year, do I want to be too bearish down there? No, we've got the whole Brazilian situation. Are we going to see dryness down there? They've had some pretty good growing years. Are they due for maybe a poor year? Maybe. So, you know, people get too bearish at the bottom. They get too bullish at the top. We want to try to take some of that emotion out of the market. When things get really cheap, that's when we like to buy back what some of the commodities we've sold and try to catch some of the upside.
Right. Buy when others are fearful and sell when others are greedy.
That's exactly
Warren Buffett.
Right.
Would a U.S. dollar sell-off be a positive factor on a big scale, or would it be more psychological here for the grains and oilseed?
No, it'll help, but it'll have to be a significant break. You can't go from 98 cents to 95 cents and say, okay, the dollar is lower, we should see a pickup in demand. If you can get the dollar back under 90 cents, moving toward 80 cents, then you can see some significant demand and some attitudes change.
Okay.
The problem is, you know, we've seen so many problems in Europe, particularly in Greece and elsewhere, with these economies, how much buying power is out there. Well, with the dollar at 98 cents, not a lot. If we can get the dollar somewhere significantly lower, yes, it would make a big difference, but I'm not sure we're going to see that anytime soon.
All right. Well, Mark Gold, thanks for joining us this week and for sharing your insights.
Thanks, Mike. Glad to be here.
Thanks to all of you for sending in your questions via Facebook and Twitter. Please continue to do so, and we will get expert analysis right to you. Thanks for watching, and have a great week.